Reading from Exodus chapter 24, starting at verse 12. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction." Then Moses set out with Joshua, his assistant, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them." When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went on up the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Amen.
The Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead."
Thank you, Brenda. Holy God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord, our Rock, our Redeemer. One of the things that my family have a soft spot for is cats. And for those who are interested, we have 2 indoor cats. One's called Sapphire, blue eyes, and the other one is called Minou, which is apparently from the French for small cat. So it may be of little surprise to you that a recent BBC story about a Yorkshire cat going on walks became news in our house. This cat was called Arlo and was happy going on walks while on a lead, accompanied by 2 dogs on the walk. And at 3 months old, he had already made it up Scarfell Pike, being pictured at the top in the video. I haven't made it up Scarfell Pike yet, but that's another story. My reason for sharing the story is that the cat did not wake up one morning having decided to walk up a mountain. Rather, it was led by its owner that guided it to the top. Like the cat, sometimes we need help to reach the mountaintop. And the thing about the accounts we have heard from the Bible relating to going up mountains is that in each case it was God's idea. Moses did not suddenly think, now is a good time to go up a mountain. And Peter, James and John were also the ones who responded to Jesus' call to come and walk with me. Whether they knew where they were going before they set off is not recorded. But the Bible does tell us that Jesus was the one who led them up a high mountain. Another thing that strikes me is the timing of the experience that Moses had on the mountain. After he had responded to God's call to go up the mountain and meet with God, and had gone up the mountain, Moses was up the mountain covered by the cloud, which is described as the glory of God. And I'm sure that was the same cloud that we met in the gospel reading. And for 6 days, Moses was in the cloud. And it was only on the seventh day that God actually called to Moses from within the cloud. And yes, we are told that he stayed there 40 days. But for 6 days, he was in the cloud and he was just waiting in the cloud, experiencing being in a cloud. Yes, it was a very special cloud. I don't know, it's hard to imagine what it would be like. So when we respond to God's call and wait at the top of the mountain, we must not always expect an instant word from God as soon as we reach the top. The message may be there in the cloud, but we need to have our eyes opened to see, and we need to wait for his timing to hear the words he has to say to us. John, please could you go between the three pictures? For Peter, James and John, the experience of seeing Jesus transfigured and talking with Elijah and Moses was amazing. But when they heard the voice of God, the gospel account tells us that they fell face down to the ground, terrified. And Jesus, of course, did not leave them in that place. Rather, he came to them with practical instructions. Get up. Do not be afraid. I'd like to ask you to imagine what it would have been like to be on that mountaintop with Jesus and James and John when Jesus was transfigured. When his face shone like the sun, when his clothes became as white as the light. And the first image, which is that one, is an icon from just over 600 years ago, painted by Theophanes the Greek in Moscow. And Theophanes the Greek was a teacher and mentor of Andrei Rublev. The second one is by, I might get the pronunciation wrong on this, Duccio, and is about 100 years older than the first one. And the third image is from a French painter, James Tissot, just over 100 years ago. And for me, this one captures a moment of realization that Jesus is talking with Moses and Elijah just before Peter opens his mouth. It is not possible to capture in an image the true transformation that took place on the top of a mountain. The transfiguration transforms more than just Jesus and the two prophets, Moses and Elijah. It extends to Peter, to James and to John. And if we will allow it, it can extend to us. And as we spend time with Jesus, the Holy Spirit can touch our hearts and enable us to see the reality of Jesus Christ, the one who came to earth to call each one of us into a deeper and fuller relationship with him. And so we stop for a while and ponder the view from the top of the mountain. And with the disciples, when we see Jesus transformed, we too can worship him. And like Peter on the mountain with Jesus, we do not know what to say. We do not know how to respond to the splendor of God we see in front of us, talking to Elijah and Moses. And so maybe we sing. And the tune, I'm sure, will be familiar to you. As we enter into Lent this week, we have the opportunity to be led by Jesus on the journey that he wants to lead us on. We have the opportunity for him to lead us to a place where our understanding of him will be changed. And we have to be willing to respond, to follow Jesus when he calls us to walk with him. Maybe not even knowing the destination, the place he is taking us to. But we do know that his love is so great that we will be blessed when we do choose to walk with him. And there may well be times when we feel like we cannot see the path. But at times like these, we do well to remember that we did not set out alone. For Jesus was the one who called us to walk with him. And on our journey this morning, we have just climbed up the mountain with Jesus. We have seen him transformed, heard God speak, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So perhaps the question should be, have you ever had a transformational experience? Let me tell you about one of mine. It was October, and I went for a walk in the Humber Bridge Country Park. And it was morning and the day was mostly dull. And what I usually do is decide where to walk and then tell God how wonderful his creation is. And this is something I really enjoy. Somehow the experience of nature brings me closer to God. But this day I stopped and prayed and asked God to show me his creation instead of me showing it to him. And I was not disappointed. I walked around a corner, and there on the screen were a couple of small blue flowers with a shaft of sunlight illuminating them. And I was fortunate enough to have my camera with me and took a photo. And I'm not sure if you can see, but the whole flower is illuminated by the sunlight, making it translucent. And on the petals, there are many tiny drops of dew, each of which are glistening like diamonds. And for me, it was an amazing experience, which transformed my understanding of speaking to God. When you get to the top of a mountain, you find that your perspective changes, because you see the landscape around you in a new way. You can see where you have been, where you have come from. You might even be able to see the place where you live. You can also see where you will be going next when you leave the mountain. And we're not sure what Jesus and the three disciples could see. But we do know that from this point on, Jesus' eye was fixed firmly on Jerusalem. and his path was set. And I feel sure that the Transfiguration was an important source of inspiration for Jesus and his disciples in the days, weeks, months, and years that followed. It doesn't matter where we are on our journey. If we spend time with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we will be transformed. And for Jesus, this transformation came as he was taking a path which he knew would lead to a cross in Jerusalem. And if Jesus knew that he needed to spend time with his Heavenly Father, how much more do we need to spend time with him? And as we stand or sit at the top of the mountain, just as Jesus received strength to make the journey to that other hilltop of Calvary, and just as the disciples received strength to journey together, guided by the promised Holy Spirit, so we too can receive strength, the strength that we need to travel on together. I'm sure too it was no accident that Jesus chose three disciples to go up the mountain with him. Because at the time, three witnesses were essential for somebody to be believed. So the account of the Transfiguration and the transformation that took place in their understanding and experience of who Jesus was and who he is became so much more believable. But there's another reason too. Because a corporate joint experience carries with it a special power. There's a special significance for a group of people who share the same experience, and especially when God reveals himself to them together. So as we start walking down the hill towards the valley, which is sometimes in shadow, our shared experience of God will give us strength. And I'm sure too that this is one of the reasons why Christian witness is so powerful. When we tell each other how God has been working in our lives, the Holy Spirit is at work too, shining the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ into the lives of those around us. I'd like to point you to Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 to 35, which is worth reading as a follow-up to the reading from chapter 24 that we heard Barbara read. Here the glory of the Lord has so covered Moses that he came down the mountain with his face shining after talking to God. So too our lives can shine with the light of God's love, even without us saying a word, because we ourselves are transformed by spending time in God's presence. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, we can know that the journey we take with God has always been his idea. His idea long before it became ours. And at this point, maybe it would be helpful to hear some words of testimony. Unfortunately, the final lectionary reading set for this morning gives us the opportunity to hear the testimony of St. Peter, as recorded in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on that sacred mountain. we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So as we stand or sit at the top of the mountain, just as Jesus received strength to make the journey to the other hilltop, just as the disciples received strength to journey together, so we too have that opportunity to hold on to the transfiguration experience in our hearts. When, like Jesus, we spend time in the presence of God, we too will be transformed, so that when we come down from the mountaintop experience of communicating with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, those we meet will be able to see the way his light has changed us. And I'd like to close the sermon with a blessing for Transfiguration Sunday, written by Jan Richardson, a United Methodist minister from the USA. Believe me, I know how tempting it is to remain inside this blessing, to linger where everything is dazzling and clear. We could build walls around this blessing, put a roof over it. We could bring in a table, chairs, have the most amazing meals. We could make a home, we could stay. But this blessing is built for leaving. This blessing is made for coming down the mountain. This blessing wants to be in motion, to travel with you as you return to level ground. It will seem strange how quiet this blessing becomes when it returns to earth. It is not shy. It is not afraid. It simply knows how to bide its time, to watch and wait, to discern and pray, until the moment comes when it will reveal everything it knows, when it will shine forth with all it has seen, when it will dazzle with the unforgettable light you have carried all this way. Amen.